This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso.
Hello and welcome back to Seagull Social, Season 4, Episode 30. We have just put 5 past Sheffield United. Another one. Another 5 goals at Sheffield. So stuff that up your arse, Sheffield. Sheffield is blue. It is, in fact, blue.
Sheffield United.
Wednesday all the way.
Before we get cancelled.
Oh, don't say that. I still don't like... We don't like Wednesday. Please, we don't like Wednesday. Let's not get on that, Ben. Let's leave that where it was.
No, I'm a big fan of Wednesday.
We don't like Wednesday.
I loved playing them in the Championship. It was so much fun. Only good memories against Sheffield. No, boys, how are we doing, Maz? Are you good?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Just went for a run earlier, and now I'm in peak condition to talk about the absolute annihilation of Sheffield United.
Love that. You just had your pamper session in time for this one as well.
Yeah, I had a little pamper session last night. As you can see, the skin is glistening, but I didn't get any compliments from you boys, so appreciate that. Keep me humble.
No, Maz said, can you recognise anything different? And I said, your eyebrows look like they've been done. And he said, no, they haven't.
They normally have, to be fair. So that's different.
Ryan, have you had any pamper sessions? Did you have a spa day with your mum for her birthday?
No, mate, I wish I did. But no, happy birthday to mum, belatedly, because this is going out the day after now. But yeah, happy birthday to mum. And actually dad, because his birthday is on Thursday and he'll be listening to this too. So yeah, happy birthday to both of them, why not? But yeah, no, mate, what a good way to spend a birthday though. 5-0, my gosh. The only blue thing in Sheffield is Brighton, mate, because that was an annihilation again. But yeah, three weeks and two fives. That's crazy. Crazy.
And Sheffield, the only team to hold 5-3 in a row.
Oliver Bruggen got his first clean sheet in the Premier League. It's only taken him 5 months. February 18th, he gets his first clean sheet after signing in the summer. We all know that's not just down to him. It's down to not playing a lot and also down to the defence in front of him and the issues we've had. But yeah, what a moment for him to finally get it. I'm sure it was a massive, massive relief. When their disallowed goal went in, I was thinking, "Oh, classic! We can't keep a clean sheet for love nor money." But I'm glad he finally done it. Probably talk about that a little bit more in the episode. We've got a few decent talking points actually after the game. Got Roberto Zerbi linked with Barcelona, Sam Jewell linked with Chelsea and Man United. Dan Ashworth's gone to Man United now, it seems. Apart from all this gardening leave nonsense, obviously now Barco's officially joined the squad in England. So we've got a few nice stuff we can cover after the match, but let's start with the game first. We normally do a quick summary, don't we? So, Maz, what did you think of the game, or what were your thoughts going into it? Did you expect that sort of victory?
No, I don't think I saw a 5-0 victory coming. However, we were pretty confident on the preview, me, Ryan and Jack Albion, quite confident. I think we all predicted wins for Brighton. But yeah, I didn't envisage them going down to 10. And then, of course, us running away with it. And pretty early on as well, after that sending off, I think it was just all us. Even before the sending off, to be honest, I thought we looked in control. We didn't look too... they had a few little sparks before the sending off, maybe. Like with McAtee, I thought McAtee was brilliant for them. He looks really, he looks like a great player. He's really good with the ball. Great, forward running. And yeah, he was a bit of a bright spark in the first 15.
You can tell he's been made at City, can't you? Just his technical ability like that.
100%. And then, of course, that disgusting challenge from Mason Holgate changed the game. And yeah, rightly so. I think we were the better team from start to finish. And yeah, it was just a dominant performance. And it was so good to have Adingra and Mitoma back on the wings because I thought they were both fantastic as well. So yeah, all in all, fantastic game and a great result to get 5 goals in Sheffield.
And yourself, Ryan, what did you make of it?
Mate, I don't get why Holgate got sent off. I just thought it was a complete dive from Mitoma. He's won the ball. Game's gone, really.
He deserved all the boos he got.
I don't get it. They're right to boo him as well. Mate, honestly, game's finished if you're giving reds for that. I don't really get what football's becoming if we're really looking at them and analysing, overlooking it. I mean, follow through. What's all that about? But no, the fact that everything I've said there is a genuine opinion of some fans is actually kind of scary. Because, yeah, I think I've heard some crazy, crazy calls on the back of that one. But yeah, Mason Holgate, mate, what were you thinking? If you were thinking at all. But yeah, thank God that Kari Mitoma was okay. Yeah.
I've got a theory, Ryan. I've got a theory. Mason Holgate is on loan from Everton. Agent Holgate, mate. He's going to get Sheffield United relegated. Sean Dyche, masterclass. Fair play, mate. Hats off to you.
Yeah, 4D chess from Sean Dyche, as per. He's a genius.
Anyway, I just
want to know what the Sheffield fans are smoking.
You say, like, we were just the better team. Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, what are they smoking in Sheffield? What are they drinking in Sheffield? Because even their players were saying it. Let's just dive into it because we can pick up from where we left off in the game. We seem to be talking about it. Was it Anel? And I don't even know how to pronounce the
Ahmed
name, unfortunately. Right, the Bosnian defender, standing captain.
Ahmed Hozic.
Standing captain for them, came out after the game and saying that he thought it was a fair tackle. He said the replays make it look a little bit harsher, or seem to make it look a little bit harsher, that it wasn't a red. I mean, I don't know what he saw, because unless he thought we were talking about a different tackle, that's the only thing I can think of. Or he's maybe just like kind of defending Holgate because it's his teammate. He doesn't want to like go in on him. But at the same time, you should still be able to say, yeah, poor challenge, but that's not in Mason's, it's not Mason's character to do that sort of thing. That would be defending him in the right way, not just completely saying, wasn't a bad tackle. Like, I genuinely was worried that Mitoma had a career ending injury. Like, it was that bad. It looked awful. Like, hearing him screaming going down.
The only thing I'll say is when I watched it in real time, as soon as the challenges happened, I thought bad challenge, but I was like, okay, yellow card, cool. But then as soon as I saw the first replay, I was genuinely up in arms. I was in disbelief that he'd given the yellow card once I saw what had actually happened. So again, it doesn't excuse Ahmedzovic, where his name is, comment at all, because he's completely wrong. It was a disgusting challenge, like awful. One of the worst we've seen, aside from maybe Miguel Britos on knockout back
yeah,
in the day.
Great.
Yeah, that was a mad challenge. But yeah, it was in that split moment, I was like, okay, bad challenge, but yellow. But then as soon as I've seen the replays, it was genuinely one of the worst tackles I've seen in a long, long time. So yeah, I just don't understand the comments of, oh yeah, it's a yellow or whatever. It's just mental. It was a straight red. It should be, in my opinion, it should be a retrospective ban. I'm not even being exaggerative here. I think he deserves at least an extension of the 3-match ban that he's going to get. So yeah, that's just my opinion on it all.
I just don't get how he's done it. Because he's got the ball first a little bit, but he thought it was like a free hit. He thought, right, I'm going to easily get the ball here first, but also completely crunch Mitoma, which, you know, you can get away with if you time a challenge right. But he completely mistimed it. And I have no idea how his studs and his foot got that high.
I don't even know if he's mistimed that, you know. That to me just looks like an attempt to get the man. I just don't see any attempt there. And do you know what doubled down my thinking in that? Was the fact that they did it again, which no one's talking about for some reason. To Ansu, they did exactly the same thing. The guy, number 19, I can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah, he got
But literally twice, him. Yeah, he's yeah. gone and shouldered. He's barged him on the floor. Yeah, okay, yeah, that was a foul. He waved advantage. But then he's gone and crunched him afterwards. And I was like, mate, what? Like, there's literally no need for him to go in that hard on Ansu there at all. He wasn't going anywhere. Well, yeah, to be fair, he led to a goal in the end. But in that situation, there's no need for it. So that, to me, just proved everything that I was thinking about Holgate at the time, calling him dirty. And I was thinking, well, clearly they are, because I mean, their fans are defending it. Some of their players are defending it. And let's see. Look, they did it again in the second half. So to me, mate, they're a dirty team. I can't wait to see them get relegated and out of this division, because they shouldn't be. It's terrible. Honestly,
are they getting relegated?
There's no way for the ball. No, but the thing is, Maz, I don't say that normally. Like, I always want teams to compete, but that, like, to be dirty and try and hurt players, and you know, it's a career ender. 100%. That's Matoma's career on the line. You don't do that. You know, if I did that down Storrington, anyone does that down there, I'm expecting to be pulled in and abused by everyone individually, saying, "What are you doing? Like, what are you actually thinking? It's wrong, mate. Yeah. Wrong.
No, I agree.
Yeah, it's terrible. The only thing I don't want to sound too disrespectful to Sheffield United, because, like I was saying, I don't think they should be in this league. They've done really well to come up last year with the money issues that they got, and I hope the money issues have helped them out. But yeah, I don't even know where they would finish in the Championship. But, like, if they were in the Championship this season, they would be nowhere near the promotion spots. And I know they've got a few defensive injuries and that sort of thing, but they were just so poor, regardless of them being down to 10 men. They've just been awful. I think they've broke the record for goals conceded in the first 25 games. They've conceded 65 goals in 25 Premier League games, which is insane. I don't know what the maths is. Is that like 3 goals a game or something like that?
I think statistically they're the worst defensive team in Premier League. Since Derby, maybe?
Up to now ever.
Maybe Premier League history. Yeah, that's which is insane. Like, yeah, the worst defence ever, which is just mental. Derby's tally points.
Yeah, I was really hoping they weren't going to. But I loved the fact that after every single goal, it would just pan into a Sheffield United fan with his head in his hands, like, head shaking. It was so good.
You had that as well.
Chris Wilder doing the Stephen Warnock, or Neil Warnock, sorry, not Stephen Warnock. Ryan, do you agree with Maz? Do you reckon there should be a further ban for Holgate on the challenge, or would you leave it as to, I'm guessing, what is it, a straight red card? What's that, 2 games, isn't it? Or was it a 1 game?
Yeah, 3 games. But
three games.
I think 3 games red card, isn't it? Straight red's 3.
It used to be, yeah.
2 is the same. One game's a yellow, yeah. So unless they've changed it.
No, I'm just getting confused with the suspension.
It should be, mate. It should be more. But it won't be, let's face it. But, I mean, it's the straight leg and into the knee. Like, it's just a... To me, like, that's if you do that, it's trying to injure someone. So I think that needs to be taken into consideration when they review it. But whether they will, I don't know. It's Prem, isn't it? Like, they get away with everything, especially when he's on loan from Everton. He probably get away with it somehow. But I don't even know.
Also, as well, they're lucky Matoma didn't get injured. Yeah, and also the audacity for him to go, "What ref? What?" It's like, come on, mate, just take it. Take the red card. Get off the pitch. And yeah, see you later, mate. It was just
he's kneed me underneath
decision.
My foot with his thigh. He's done it to me.
The audacity to look shocked and surprised is
players.
Mental.
Mate, this is the thing. Yeah, players need to take so much accountability in this game. And do you know what? I get why Sheffield United fans. This is one thing I do agree with them is I do get why they were annoyed at, particularly Facundo and Matoma at times. I didn't actually think the push was too bad. I thought it actually looked a bit like a foul, but. It definitely was an exaggerated fall. But I've got to be honest, Facundo spent so much time on the floor, mate. Like, I completely get it. Yeah. And I think that the players do need to take accountability. That takes for us, it takes for every player in this Premier League. Like, the cheating, mate, it is unwatchable at times. Like, you're just thinking... I remember when Caicedo played for us, I'd be cringing, thinking, mate, just get up. Just get up. And I think that about when Anote does it, it is annoying and it is wrong. You shouldn't do that at all.
I don't want to point fingers away from us. A lot of teams do it. And a great example was it was after the first half of the Tottenham game. I went down to meet my mates in the concourse. And just before I was going to say, "God, your boys dive all over shop," they said to me that, "God, your boys dive all over shop." I think it just happens. It's like, it is part of the Premier League now, really, which is a bit annoying.
Shouldn't happen, though.
Obviously, you don't ever like seeing your own players doing it, but at least we can actually admit it when our players are doing it. I even said it yesterday to my mate I was watching it with. I was like, yeah, we actually... need to stop this like going down so easily. But yeah, it's unfortunately it's part of the game now. And if you don't do it, you'll fall behind. Like, you've got to get those small margins and small wins to compete with everyone.
Just on that though, I think that Matoma push was a penalty, in my opinion. I know some might look at it as soft. Yeah, some might people look, but he's double-handed pushed him in the back. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's a penalty, straight away, penalty. But he didn't, I swear he didn't even get reviewed, or am I tripping?
No, because it was the same phase when we scored our second, right? It was when Welbeck scored. I think it was literally the same. They had, they hadn't even gone back to look at it, I'm pretty sure. Okay. And then when they did try a replay,
you can't score and get a penalty as well, I'm assuming.
That would be that would be nice.
Yeah, that would
they did show the replay after the Welbeck goal, and they were like, yeah, that probably would have been, I think the commentator said it probably would have been given a penalty anyway.
Yeah, because that was outrageous. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense now that I know the it's like double jeopardy ball, right?
You can't
twice, yeah.
We'll start from the
I remember saying on the preview, sorry Ben, I just remember saying on the preview to Maz, like, we wanted to go to this game. I think I predicted 3-0. To be fair, it's not as far off as I thought it could be. But I thought I wanted to go to this game, and because we know that they're not very good. You know, everyone, you can look at the points tally, look at the goals conceded to tell that. But I knew that they weren't very good, but it was just so Brighton and whatever to go to a game like this and lose. You saw Luton, for example. But I just wanted to go there and prove that we're the better team. So to actually see it today... yesterday was probably one of the most satisfying things for me. Like, even in that first half at 2-0 cruising, I know we had that stupid moment at the back and we still proved we have those moments, but we'll get to that in a minute. But just in general, to see Brighton, to see Brighton controlling it and ruthlessly killing the team off, I thought was probably my, the one thing I've come away most satisfied with, regardless of the sending off, regardless of who we're up against. It's big for us, I think, in that. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I just feel like
No, there's definitely some concerns. And yeah, like you said, when they scored that goal, I was thinking, God, for God's sake. I think even in the second half, I thought, I just want to be safe and get a third, and then I can relax and have a nice Sunday afternoon. Yeah, Maz, did you feel the same?
Yeah, definitely. I think after that third goal went in, you're like, okay, cool. Breathe, relax. Like you said, you can sort of just chill out watching it, and you can, I'm not gonna lie, it felt like a bit of a training game after that third goal went in. It just felt like we were just, you know, passing it at will. It was pretty relaxed. There was no real pressure from Sheffield United. They'd given up. Even some of the passes they were making was just basic stuff. You could see how frustrated Chris Wilder was getting on the touchline. If you're a Sheffield United fan, you should feel embarrassed that your team can't even make a simple pass. And I think that's what you look at. If you're a Sheffield United fan, you think, at least play with a bit of pride, play with a bit of passion. I know you're I know you're 10 men down. Sorry, a man down, playing with 10 men. You know,
felt like they were 10 men down.
Yeah. I mean, it might as well play with one player, yeah. it just, you know, if I was a Sheffield United fan, I would be so upset and frustrated about the lack of fight that the players showed. I think, yeah, I know you're playing with a man less, but at the same time, you've got to show a bit of just basic football, like basic passes, basic tracking back, basic efforts. I think that's all you ask for from your team, right? Even if you lose 5-0, at least you can say, look, lads, you put a shift in and you all tried your best. But if you look at that Sheffield United team, I thought they were all poor. They're all not one player. Like I said, apart from McAtee, potentially, I think they all should leave that pitch with their heads down, really.
They were nothing like the team that beat Luton, which, funnily enough, I was listening to Stick to Football, and Jamie Carragher was saying Luton had 75% possession in the game when they lost, 1 or 2-0 to Sheffield United at Kenilworth
Road. 3-1, wasn't it?
Was it 3-1, sorry? Yeah, I didn't see the score, but yeah. Which is insane. So they can be dangerous from the counter-attack, which could have worked against us quite easily. Like, we've seen it a lot of times this season where teams beat us on the counter and, yeah, end up winning the game because of it. I don't know why they didn't play anything like that game. I'll quickly run through what happened in the first half. So obviously, we actually nearly opened the scoring pretty early on. Adingra, unbelievable touch, plucked from the air. Must have been watching some Toma highlights. And then it nearly went in, nearly an own goal. But I did want to mention Adingra because obviously he's had so much hype in the media and on social media as well. But like, even before the game, Jamie Redknapp bigging him up, being like, oh, Brighton have done it again. They've got another superstar. Like, don't get me wrong, he's been great. And I put him in my team of the season so far, didn't I? Ahead of Matoma, controversially. But I still don't know. I don't know if they're jumping on it because of this whole AFCON bandwagon of him getting best young player. But maybe it's just me, but I feel like he's being really, really overhyped by the media for some reason. I don't know. Either of you agree?
I don't agree with you at all in terms of how good he's been, but I agree with you in terms of the fact of the bandwagon thing. Like, I think Adingra has been great, but I feel like everyone's just talking about him because of AFCON, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, if he was still performing like this, say he scored the brace yesterday, And, you know, people say, oh, good finish, but they wouldn't really care about him, I think. But that's just football, isn't it? Like, as soon as you see in sports in general, look at Luke Littler during the, like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone just jumps on stuff as soon as they see it going. And they forget about him in a year's time. But I think, I don't agree in terms of how good Odingra has been. I think he is getting a lot better, and he's only 22, which is insane. So, I think, as Maz said earlier in the podcast, having him and Mitoma, mate, it's just like it's such a breath of fresh air. Like, you know, it's something that we've missed a lot, and you know you miss it, but you don't realise how much you miss it until you see it again. And I must admit, when I saw no João Pedro, I thought, he got a hat trick last time we played against Sheffield United. And you know, that was three of the five goals back then, and we still hit another five without them three. So that just goes to show how important they are, but how fluid this team is with the wingers that De Zerbi needs.
Yeah, and when you've got Danny Welbeck, Maz, you don't need any other superstar on your team, do you?
No, mate, he's a boy. I'd like to formally apologise to Sir Danny Welbeck today for all the previous slander in the last 2 years. I will put on my apology today. This is my statement to Sir Danny Welbeck. If you are listening, if you are ever listening to Seagull Social, don't listen to anything I said in the last 2 years, because you, sir, are a Brighton legend. How about
3 years?
So, yeah, 3 years, yeah. No, look, he was fantastic.
He replied, don't worry, mate, I wasn't.
Yeah. Who the hell are you, mate? No, but I think he's been fantastic recently. And he's a great asset. And hearing the one-year contract extension, I think is brilliant. For some reason, do you know what? It was quite funny, actually, because I don't know if you saw that tweet where it said, another 5 years for Danny Welbeck, but I actually misread it. It's actually just, he'll be there for 5 years, as in he'll be a Brighton player for 5 years. Oh, and right. I thought we were giving him a 5-year contract. Yeah,
that's a weird way to word it, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, sorry, we're giving him a 5-year contract. He'll be like 39. And I was like, no, that's I'm not having that. But yeah, definitely warranted.
Just physique to it.
Yeah, warrants a 1-year contract. But just quickly, on Simon Odingra, my only point I want to make on him is he is an unbelievable player. And on his day, we all know how good he can be. Just one thing I would like him to be is more consistent. I think prior to going to the AFCON, I think he had some games where he was missing, some games he was brilliant. I just want him to be more consistent going forward. Just, you know, even sevens every game. You know, have that 10, have that 9, but just don't go below 7, please. That would be great. I know it's not realistic, but just more consistency and just keep up the levels, I suppose. That's what I'd love from him.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I kind of, my original point, where I just thought it seems so overhyped, and a lot of the stuff that I was reading or hearing just seemed so, is inauthentic a word? It just didn't seem right. Like, when hearing those words from Jamie Redknapp's mouth, I was like, mate, you didn't even know about him a couple months ago, and you're saying about, like, he's so a superstar, and how Brighton have done it again. And, like, I just think that, yes, he's been good, but I don't know if the hype has been warranted. And I think they're just jumping on it for AFCON clicks, basically, aren't they? So that's pretty much what it is. Standard media. But yeah, Brighton have done it again, and we're going to do it again when Osman comes next season as well.
It's interesting, though, to me, because, yeah, but like the attention that he's going to get now, the experience he's had going out there, playing at, you know, the top level in his country, his home country as well, where they won it, all that, you know, the rising followers, the rising attention, people talking about him, all that stuff's going to be only beneficial to him in terms of, you know, his overall game. And by that, I mean, off the pitch as well, as a person, he's going to change, he's going to mature. So I think those sort of things is really, really, really good for him, because as you say, only a few months ago, people didn't really know who he was. And I'm pretty sure before he went to AFCON, I had more followers than him. So now we've got about 400,000 followers on his Instagram, and it's all just changed. So no, it's really big for him. And those little things in his life are going to be a lot for him as a person and maturing into a better player, I think.
And a massive downside for us, he's going to be linked to every football club in the Premier League / Europe for the next year.
You know what?
So can't wait for that.
I don't think I would mind if we had to, if we've got to look at the conveyor belt of wingers and stuff like that we've got, I wouldn't have him near the top, which might sound mental. I mean, there are other players I'd be willing to keep over him that haven't been playing that much this season. Like, imagine when Enciso comes back. Sarmiento, I don't know, is his time over at Brighton because of the wingers we've got coming in? Like I said, the other Ivorian, Osman, got coming in. Will he go straight out on loan? We spent 16 million on him. Maybe he will be a first team player, spending that sort of money on him. So I know. And even the commentary were like, yeah, Brighton signed him for 6 million, but he's definitely, you can times that by 10 now. I was like saying he's worth 60 million. I was just like, how is this? How are they saying these things? Like, how much is he worth, Ryan? Is he worth 60 million?
right now, mate, is, if you want to, I don't know, it's just, it's such a stupid concept, mate, because people just say things and don't think about it. Like, I don't like doing that. So I don't think a price on a Dingwa right now is even quantifiable, because exactly. it's for right now, he's priceless to us. Like, we need him more than anything. As all the players made quite clear when he was in AFCON, they were just saying, come back because we need you. So right now, he's priceless. We need a right-sided winger in the next season. What happens, I don't know. If someone bids for him, how much is he going to take? I don't know. But I'd imagine it's going to be a big fee at the moment, because he's very important to us. But it's hard to judge that, because how can you say? Because, you know, Caicedo was going for, well, if you listen to the Chelsea journalists, they were saying 80. Then some of our Brighton people were saying 100. And then it was 115, you know. So that was on the last day. So I think that money in football is a joke anyway. But to put a price tag on a kid that's just started doing well, it's just irresponsible, I think, really, from general media. Just let him do his thing and see what happens. Don't put price tags. Don't make him move. Just let him do his thing and improve. And the moves and stuff will come.
Yeah.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It is interesting, just I had thought when you were saying that, it is interesting, like, where we are as a club now. The next step isn't your West Hams, your Villas, your Newcastles, because that would be a sideways step, in my opinion. I feel like if you are going to now leave Brighton, you are only looking at the big six or big clubs across Europe. So I don't know, the places that these players can now go from Brighton, it's just, yeah, they haven't got many options, really. And then it's always going to be a big transfer fee as well if they do go. Yeah, I think that's quite mad. Like, there's not a lot of options for these players to go to now, just because of how well we are doing as a club and where we are now. Well, let's get back into the game. Classic Albion bizarre own goal. They didn't even know it went in when Facundo put it in the back of the net. Yeah, Webster cheer and then turn around as if he doesn't even know if it's gone in or not because the ball fell out. That just was so Brighton for me. And yeah, their goal, I guess it was disallowed because it was offside. I mean, not sure who headed it in. Then I think Souza hit Souza's arm and then came off Facundo's neck or the back of his head, or he headed it, I'm not sure. Ended up suddenly falling to Osborne, who put it in the back of the net. Was it given as a foul on Verbruggen because apparently he was holding him, or was it an offside?
I think it was offside.
Five deflections, was it?
I'm pretty sure it was offside, yeah. Because Osborne, in the first phase of play, when the ball gets headed, he's in an offside position. And then, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, but offside. It was just strange because obviously then it comes off Facundo. So does that mean then he's back onside because Facundo's almost given it to him rather than the defender? That's where I think there was so much.
I think it has to be intentional.
Right.
I think it has to be intentional. I think, like, say if Facundo tried to head it back to the keeper, and then he latched onto it and intercepted, I think then it would change because it's a different phase of play, different ball, if that makes sense. Mate, honestly, what a joke. Why are we talking about this rubbish? Didn't go in, didn't count. Honestly, football's so stupid, mate. Like, just, like, yeah. But yeah, it didn't go in, didn't count. Like, for me, like, what did count is the other three at the other end. So, I mean, yeah. Another thing that Sheffield United fans started moaning about, like, it's... I don't know, mate. Like, I don't know if I'm just... Maybe I've got, like, a really old brain for a 22-year-old, but for me, like, all this stuff is just boring. Like, I hate talking about... I hate talking about, like, what's offside and what's handball. Like, I don't know, it just really annoys me. I just think, oh, I don't know, just... It didn't happen, so I don't know what else to say, really. Like, it's... Okay, it's probably offside. So can you tell me why? No, because I don't know the rules anymore.
I don't think Michael Oliver did either.
I'm not going to go at Ben. I'm just saying that in general. Yeah. I don't care. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if I was listening to the pod right now, I don't really have a clue what's going on, to be honest, boys.
But it's just mad that it takes that long.
That's just me, you know.
It's mad that it takes that long. Then if the rule is that it takes inflection, then why did it take them like 3 minutes to decide it?
It takes a long time to do anything.
Just quickly on that though, the things have taken too long. To be fair to the ref, he rectified the Holgate decision pretty quick. Like, he went straight to the screen.
Yeah, that was very easy to see.
No, I know. But like, in terms of
if he didn't, I'd be really worried.
In terms of, like, usually what happens is he'll get like a thing in his ear, then he'll stand around for 30 seconds, then he'll take a minute to get to the screen. Yeah. So like, in terms of the actual process, not his decision making, but the actual process of how long it took was much smoother than usual. Anyway.
Stop staring at the monitor for 5 minutes, having a look at that tackle.
Do you know what I mean?
What's that? You know what I mean?
That's what they usually do, though. And I'm like, get it done. Just get it over and done with, mate. Like, you don't need to take this long.
I imagine Mike Oliver in the VAR studio was like, fucking hell, actually go to the screen immediately. You don't even have to talk about this. Just get over there and have a look. That was bonkers.
He's probably like, mate, have a look at this. He probably was just saying it as a fan.
Have a look at this.
Don't worry about the decision. The decision's made. Just
everyone
have a look
in the VAR, like, lads, come have a look at this, man. It's just mental.
Jesus. Let's talk about more of our goals then. A Dingra show. A gross assist, which is that a shock at this point? I saw the ball whipped in. I just thought, there you go. It's going to be another
goal. Joint second assist maker in the Premier League, just behind, who is it? He's one assist behind. I don't know who it is. I can't remember now. But he's joint second with like four other players.
If it's not Kevin De Bruyne,
it's not actually, surprisingly, because obviously he's been out. He's out injured. It's not De Bruyne.
Actually, he was injured when he injured.
He's second in. Yeah, Trippier. Find it. That's it. Trippier. That's it. Trippier's got 10, and I think Pascal's got 9. I want to say.
Trippier, Watkins both got 10, and it's Pascal with 9. So actually, looking on who's above him, I fancy him to be top assister by the end of the season.
That's what I'm saying.
I reckon he'll get more than Watkins and Trippier, to be honest.
He is joint.
He will.
He's joint with Neto and Salah on 9. Mm. So I don't know. Yeah. That could be tough.
Could be a tough one.
As long as Salah doesn't keep up with him. Neto fares, he's been decent. But Pascal's just so consistent. Like, you look at Neto, you look at Salah, these are like fancy names, you know? But Pascal just does it all the time.
Does it,
as we keep saying, just every single season. And this time, the only reason there's so many more assists is because we've actually got people putting him in the back of the net. You know, think about the amount of assists that he could have racked up in the last 5 years. Awful amount of misses, haven't we? You think about the Trossard days and Mope days. The chances, Connolly as well. We missed so many massive chances that he probably created. He's world class. Putting it out there, he's world class.
Yeah. Imagine if Pascal Gross in that City team.
Be a top three player.
If he was on that City team, he would be obviously as world class. Imagine the plaudits he'd get.
Yeah. Mate, if he was in City's team since 2018, so say he had one season with us, I reckon people would talk about him in the same breath as they talk about with De Bruyne. Is a big stretch because he is out of this world. He is probably one of the best creative players that this league has ever seen. But I think he wouldn't be too far behind. I'm definitely... Bernardo's different though, because Bernardo's just ridiculous with his feet. But I think if you're looking at like your Bruno Fernandes, I would put him above Bruno Fernandes nearly every
this season, 100%.
Year. And I wouldn't put him in front of... Mate, every single... I wouldn't swap him ever with Bruno Fernandes. I think that's the biggest myth ever, is that Bruno's better than Pascal. He's not. And that's just true.
Interesting. The thing is, like, he's playing with... would you say they'd be playing with better players? Better finishers, maybe, in Man United's team, which is maybe why he gets more goals and assists and more chance and that sort of thing. But
that's true.
Yeah, like we're saying.
Yeah, and also he's just... He's a bit more quicker. So probably in that first season with Ole... He kept up with counter-attacks a lot because that's what like their main thing was, wasn't it? So that's why he racked up so many goals. Plus COVID tax. So everyone was just in a weird spot. So half them goals wouldn't have happened in real life. And also, I just think Pascal as a person, as a leader, as a professional, I think is just so much better than Bruno, full stop. I just, you know, if I was to trade one or the other, it's going to be Pascal every day for me.
Mm. Right, I'm going to quickly rush through the other goals. Matoma, deflection from Robinson. So that went down as an own goal. And then Adingra again, another deflection.
But put in his own net.
Did Evan Ferguson try to touch that, or did he save that? Because it looked like...
He pulled out.
Did he? Because it was close to going wide, and I thought that was risky.
Should we say he pulled out just to make him feel better?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. He wanted to believe in the hype, the Adingra hype. He had him in his FPL, probably, like a lot of people.
Did he get credited for both, yeah?
Yeah, Adingra got both, yeah, because it was going on target.
On target, yeah.
Yeah.
Mitoma didn't get the assist for that own goal, did he? Like, because you don't get it. So that's so harsh. Did the hard work.
All right, so is there any more points in the game? Because I want to go on to some other stuff. But any other points you wanted to make?
Nah, pretty much. F Sheffield United and hold that L.
Oh, Lewis Dunk's really cool, weird back heel.
It
was not meant at all, but it was pretty cool. And then the back heel was good. But the flick was so unintentional.
It was like when your dad tries to do a cool trick when you're playing in the park, somehow accidentally done some rainbow flick. God knows how he done it.
Scream summer barbecue that does.
If only he was holding some summer fate. And wearing some summer fate. That was but he saved it with a great back heel, though, didn't he? He did do well there,
playing against like some 4-year olds and trying to
that video of R9 that does the compilation where he's just skinning everyone rapid, that's dads against 4-year olds in the park, who they think they are. I'm not going to do Deserbi to Barca first, because I think the other stuff's more interesting. Stuff that's happening higher up in the club with Sam Jewell. I'm guessing it's Paul Jewell's son, isn't it? They look a little bit similar. Chelsea have come in for, is it a second or a third time to try and get him as their head of recruitment, which is hilarious because they already took our first one. And reportedly now Dan Ashworth heading to Man United after his gardening leave, which is insane. He's getting more gardening leave and more money. That bloke's done so well.
Yeah, 20 million, isn't it?
Yeah, 20 million. Well, it's a 20 million fee to take him to United, I think. Mm. But so Dan Ashworth then wants to bring Sam Jewell to Man United as well. So
that is. Can I just say 20 million for a non-playing staff? Mm. I get it. He's a very high up. He's very influential. I get it, and he's important to a football club. He is good at his job. However, 20 million. Come on, bro. That is insane. But fair enough. Fair enough.
Is he good at his job?
This is what I was going to say.
He just riding the wave at this point.
This is what I was going to say.
Like, he's honestly. Go on. You say what you're going
to
say.
Okay. Well, yeah. I was going to come to you because I know that you think it's a myth, and what I agree with saying it's a myth is like the stuff he's done at Brighton. I think is incredible. The scouts he's done, changing everything to do with our scouting. Again, I'll stick to football. Jamie Carragher saying Dan Ashworth came in and said, we don't have scouts in all these different areas, which we do, but we have scouts for specific positions. They're not just there in Brazil looking for Brazilians. They're there looking for specific positions. And that's what they do. They look around the world at all these different positions.
Also, just really quickly on that scouting thing, though, isn't it Star Lizard that is the actual brains behind the operation rather than, let's say, a Dan Ashworth? Like, isn't the algorithm essentially...
He set up the network of actual scouts, right? I'm pretty sure. We went from like having three or four to like 300, I think. That is the quotes that I've seen. So, yes.
Star Lizard's like...
the database.
It's like basically a really, really cool version of FBref, if you want to put it that way. So, like, a website where it's just going to analyse players to a different level that you couldn't even understand, and I wouldn't be able to understand. That's what am I taking as of it. Obviously, I've never seen the thing, but that's what I would say.
Mm. All right. So then, Dan Ashworth. So what he's done at Brighton is very good. And like, I don't think we would be somewhat where we are now, but he's done incredible stuff for our club, getting to us where we are now, obviously with the help of Paul Barber, Tony Bloom and other people. But when it comes to the Newcastle stuff and they're praising him for signings, like, I mean, if I was a technical director at Newcastle, I think anyone here could say, "Oh, Isak's a good striker," but that's not a smart thing. He's saying, "Oh, they brought in Anthony Gordon for Everton." What, had no one heard of Anthony Gordon before? Like, I don't. That's the stuff that he's getting praised for, signing players that people know about. That I'd do that if I was playing Football Manager or FIFA when I was a kid. I would literally just search high potential strikers that are playing well. Oh, Isak's popped up. What a signing! They spent so much money on him. No wonder why they got him with all the money they've got. What he done at Brighton is something good, but. Or what he'd done at Newcastle and leaving straight away, like, he should be ashamed that he left for that bigger project.
He seems like he's got zero loyalty. Zero loyalty, which is not a good trait to have in someone who wants such a high position, surely.
But I do get why you'd want to go. I feel like, yeah, the Newcastle project has plateaued. Maybe that's because of him. Maybe that's because of their financial fair play issues that they're now having to deal with. But the Man United project is obviously insane compared to Newcastle. Like, Newcastle was a great project compared to Brighton in terms of financials, but this Man United project is obviously a whole nother level, which is, I can see why he would want to go and take it.
But everyone wants to do project now. And it's really funny. It's really stupid as well, because everyone wants to do project. Everyone asks someone to do a project. And to be fair to them, they've stuck with it. Chelsea want to do project. They can't even get past three games without complaining. So I just think it's really quite funny, really, how short people's memories of project is. I mean, Newcastle, you can say project backed by hundreds of billions of pounds. So is it really, I don't know, what would you call that, a project or project financial takeover? Like, it's mental. And then you've got, like, all you've, as you say, you've gone for really not obvious signings because they're different, but they're experienced. He's gone with experience. They're players that, you know, anyway, irrelevant. To say that that's stagnated in a year is, like, probably wrong, I'd say. Just because. How can that be? How can they stagnate a project in a year? Like, these people have to remember that the Brighton project's been since Tony Bloom took over in 2009. Like, the even Arsenal on the top end level of project have had to wait 5 years for Arteta's football starts actually working. 3 years for it to actually start working. Like, I don't know. I just feel like if Newcastle are then going to go from being a relegation candidate to Champions League, to staying Champions League, to competing top four every year, surely that's got to give them more than, what, 5 years? Got to be 5 years, surely, at least, before they can start consistently saying that, regardless of the amount of money they're going to spend. Because Chelsea, on the other hand, call themselves a project, but they're actually just buying a bunch of players and hoping for the best, copying them everyone else. And Manchester United, fair enough. Dan Ashworth, I don't know if I think he's good at his job, or if now he's just riding the wave of, I'm just going to make a ton of money here. And if it goes wrong, I'll just jump ship again. I'll just go back to Newcastle. They'll pay me 20 million. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's just what it is. It just becomes a bit like that manager merry-go-round of Jose Mourinho, of Mauricio Pochettino. Like, you know what I mean? The big names just keep going round and round in circles for a few years, make as much money as they can, fail somewhere else, and make more money again. I don't know if that's what I'm taking Dan Ashworth as now. I don't think there's as much credibility as he had in 2021 when he was at Brighton, if I'm honest.
No, I agree. Maz, do you have anything on Ashworth?
No, I think you guys have covered it pretty comprehensively. Yeah, no, my big thing is just his loyalty is in question now. I think he's pretty much not staying at clubs enough to then, yeah, like, I think the question marks you both have brought up, can you show your credibility? Can you show your expertise in such a small amount of time? And I think that's my question mark over him is, yeah, has he shown it enough? Because he's only been at Newcastle for what? A season and a half, if that? And then, yeah, he was at Brighton for two, three? So yeah, it's just like, are you consistently showing your ability at a club without jumping ship every time? And maybe you could argue he's actually just taking promotions every time. He's actually going to, he starts with a Brighton, goes to Newcastle and then gets promoted to Man United. You could argue that as well. He's taking steps up in his career. But at the same time, I would question, yeah, do you have the heart for it? And do you have the loyalty to stick around this project, you know, and actually see it through from start to finish? But yeah, aside from that, I mean, look, fair play to the guy. He's clearly chasing the bag. And if he can do it, why not, eh?
Mate, with, he's with the one laughing. We're the one with love written on our forehead here, because he's made how much money in the last 3 years? At the end of the day, whether he's good at his job or not, he's made a lot
fair
of
play.
Cash. And that's all that matters in this
fair
world, unfortunately.
Well. And then with Sam Jewell, let's say Sam Jewell does go to Chelsea or Man United, is the recruitment completely different? Well, obviously our recruitment is completely different. There's no really questioning that compared to Man United. They go for the big players, the ready-made players, whereas we are signing these youngsters that we can give first-team football to become superstars. Whereas, let's say Sam Jewell was at Man United last year and he's got Barco in. I mean, to be fair, actually, Barco probably would start for Man United in this one. Maybe that's a bad example, but let's go further back in the past where we've signed someone. They're not going to put... I mean, the reason why they didn't sign Caicedo, they're not going to put him straight in the first team. He'll go on loan somewhere and probably not be anywhere at the level that he is now because he hasn't had the right first-team football at the right level. So I don't really understand why... what Sam Jewell can do at Man United if obviously his recruitment and his abilities are in a kind of completely different market. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah. Well, again, I think it goes back to our model. I think you touched on it, Ben. Like, if we have got this scouting system with 300 scouts and essentially this big database that we've got patent to and we've got license to and no other club has, I don't think it really matters who is overseeing it or who is actually in charge. Of course, you have to be very good at your job to be able to read the analysis and, you know, data analysis, all that kind of stuff and all the elements that come with scouting and being a scout. Look, I'm not saying his role is redundant, but is it as important as we think? That's what my question would be, is Sam Jewell actually such a key role that if you take him out of it, we're screwed? I personally don't think we will be, but I could be wrong.
I'll pin it on Paul Winstanley in terms of Sam Jewell is far clear of Paul Winstanley, as in he's a lot better than. And that's probably the one thing I think would, even in the short term, hit, because I don't think we've got a ready-made replacement for Sam Jewell as we did with Paul Winstanley for him getting instantly promoted. Don't think he's got an assistant, if I'm right in saying. So there's not someone there, so we'd probably have to go external. But even still, I agree with you, Ben, on the terms of Wonder Kids thing at big clubs. You can't just... It's just... I think of it as being so obvious. I don't know how Chelsea don't see it, for example. Because obviously signing these teenagers into a big club instantly to start playing straight away isn't going to work. I mean, surely that's obvious that you're going to be a mid-table team. And if you're going to then start doing that with Manchester United, you think about the reputation of that football club, like the absolute weight on your shoulders from day one, from the moment you walk in that door for over a few million pounds, you're a part of that. So then you've got to carry that, and there's no hiding in that. So that's, I think, what people don't realise is actually, it's not just, you're not just going there as a commodity. You're going there as the star. You are going to be the star, and you're going to be the star now. Because if you aren't the star now, these fans aren't going to give you time for it. You're either going to be the star now or you're going. That's it. And that's what these big club fans have been conditioned into thinking for the past 50 years. So if they think that's going to change because they're here on a project, ain't going to happen. So I think that people don't quite get that bit. And the same with Chelsea. I think the similar thing will happen with United. I'd like to think they'll do something a bit differently based on, you know, it seems like they're a bit smarter than them. But we'll see. They're probably not, if we're being honest. Mm. At the end of the day, Brighton have done it for a long time and we haven't got the reputation to worry about. What if Brighton finish in the mid-table? Everyone's going to be shocked. No, but that's where we belong, right? So that's where it is, that the expectation, the reputation is lower. So there's less pressure on these players. Barker can come in when he wants. We've got a Stupinian. He's not a rush. No, go on.
Yeah. I was going to say, Chelsea have done this before. Like, if let's say Sam Jewell does go to Man United, so I've only got 2 minutes. If Sam Jewell does go to Man United, and then he does sign all these wonder kids that don't play, so they go out on loan. We've seen Chelsea do that before. Do you remember all the memes that would be like, they would have 40 players out on loan, and they had Vitesse this and like half of their squad there. The airport, even like further back from Marco van Ginkel sort of era, they had Gael Kakuta. They signed all these youngsters, like Charlie Musonda was meant to be the next big thing. But they go out alone every single season and never really reach their potential because of it. It doesn't work. I think hopefully smart players will still pick Brighton over Man United, like Caicedo did.
Final thing before we wrap up, I think the grass isn't always greener. And I think a lot of these young players, like us, if you look at our team, right, and of course, again, there's going to be so much interest. I'm sure when Nsisa comes back, there's going to be lots of interest in him. Facundo, obviously, will get a lot of eyes now that he's playing so well. Similar Dingra, you know, all these great players that we've got. And of course, they're going to get interest. But just look at the ones that have failed, have gone and failed. I'm not saying Caicedo will be a failure, but he's failing right now. You look at, there's a whole list, my brain's gone blank, but there's a whole list of young players that have gone and it hasn't worked out. But even like the Cucureas and, you know, and of course, there has been successes, Trossard, Ben White, Arsenal, they've gone to a good team. But most of the time, I say eight out of 10 probably fail, as in it's not as what they expect. And I think that comes down to their expectation and the pressures on them, like Ryan said, from these bigger clubs where they won't get with us. So just maybe stay for a couple of more years, at least till you developed as a player, and then maybe look up to go on. But don't go in your prime career development years and lose those valuable playing time that you would have got at Brighton and not at a big club.
Because, and that development thing, exactly, just to finish on your point, that development thing is exactly what they can't give you. They can't give you that development. There's so many variables to signing a young player. You've got to worry about the language barrier. You've got to worry about them settling, their age group, who they're going to mix with, when they're going to mix with them, how they're going to get into the team, the pathway into that first team. Maybe they need some under-23s football first. Don't post them all over your social media straight away. I mean, all these little things are going to add up into shaping this young player into being the player that he could be. He's going to need 6 months' time till he's ready. He can go on loan. He can't go on loan. These are things that Chelsea don't actually think about. These are things that probably Manchester United may not think about. So these are things that I think the big clubs can't offer that Brighton can, and that will always be the sell. And it helps we've got a magic man like De Zerbi to help them as a bit of a father figure.
Mm. And get yourself a good agent, Bush, Dan.
Yeah. Don't use Caicedo as agent.
Yeah. Bank a bunch of money and leave.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's an interesting final part of the podcast. I quite enjoy talking about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't think it really gets spoken about a lot. Cool, yeah. Unbelievable 5-0 win. Roll on to the next game, which is, have we got Fulham midweek? Is it Fulham or is that next? Is that the next? That's the next game, right?
Fulham's next Saturday, yeah. Saturday after. So we've got Everton next. I can't wait to smash them because I've got a reason why. And they really deserve it. But yeah, I honestly, that video, I will love it if we beat them. Please, please beat them. That's all I'm going to say. Please beat Everton. That's what I'm putting out there. Love it.
We've got, yeah, Everton on Saturday, Wolves then on the Wednesday in the FA Cup, and then, yeah, Fulham away on the Saturday, 2nd of March. So that will be some good games, to be fair, and hopefully we proceed in going further in the FA Cup. Maz, Ryan, thank you for joining me. Like and subscribe. Comment down below.
How mental is it that Brighton... Sorry. How mental is it, comment this, that Brighton are winning 5-0 in the Premier League away from home, and we're just going about it like it's normal now.
Yeah, that's true.
Just think about that for
Didn't
a minute.
Say that, Steph.
Insane. Actually, insane. I don't care if they're 10 men. Don't care if they're bottom of the league. Brighton win 5-0 in the Premier League. Away
just,
from home.
Just quickly.
Mental.
Is that our best
and we're
ever...
we're just like normal was, about it.
Is that our best ever result in a Premier League game? Away.
Away, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We beat Wolves, wasn't it? 6? Wolves at home.
Yeah, it's Wolves 6, yeah.
That's home, yeah.
Mm. All right, so comments also below. Just put Ashworth in capital letters and then loads of snake emojis because he's done it again. He's done it again, Ashworth.
Cashworth has done it
again.
Yeah,
Dan Cashworth, that's great. All right, nice one. We'll see you very soon.
Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.